Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Another big Tuesday leading up to what is going to be a big weekend. Hope you're having a safe time. I know it's a little bit chilly out there. Going to be, I'm hearing tell that we could have some interesting weather this weekend, if you believe the weatherman.
Wintry mix.
Wintry mix is what they say.
Somebody hit me up on Twitter last night talking about, see, Hugh, it's pronounced wintry. Just say wintry.
Not wintery?
And I was about to say, shut up!
Can you say that on Twitter?
No, I was about to say a little bit more, but I'm like, I'm trying to learn how to put, you know what I mean? I was Twitter thugging kind of hard yesterday.
Okay.
And I've been trying to learn how to just stop, you know, just stop Twitter thugging so much. But it's hard, man. I mean, you know, like this petty in me, sometimes it raises up to the levels of just the pettydom is so high that I just can't let it go. And I'm trying to do better. Jesus be a fence, but it ain't working.
That's your New Year's resolution?
I'm trying to quit being like, just let it slide. Because, you know, it's like, they're just words at the end of the day. They're just words. And I, you know how you as a parent, you tell your kid, oh, they're just words. But sometimes you just can't let certain things that people say to you slide. It just gets under your skin.
Well, Twitter's the worst. I mean, Twitter trolls are the worst.
Oh, no doubt.
But Twitter's the worst. And the reason Twitter and text are so bad is that you have no context for the, you know, how the words are said.
Right, the tone.
Right, the tone.
I mean, but when you call people out their name, that you don't need no tone for that.
No.
You don't need no tone for that.
If it's direct, yeah, you don't need
no
tone.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, I usually get it. I get it the worst when I say something that nobody agrees with. And that's fine. You know what? For the most part, that's fine. But then you got to ask yourself, what type of person are you when you get upset when somebody doesn't agree with your point of view that you want to run them out of town? I mean, that's the biggest thing. That's the one that I get. I have never been ran out of town so much, more than I have been ran out of town here in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, I've been ran out of town. Like, every year around this time, I get ran out of town. I mean, when you think about it, I got ran out of town in January last year. I got ran out of town in December. And you know, it's just holding true to when I'm just keep getting ran out of town, man. Everybody want me to leave.
So you mean they're trying to do you like John's trying to fire everybody?
Yeah, they're running me out of town. Get out! You don't agree with us, you're always doing this.
Wait a second. No, just because I don't agree with somebody is not a reason to be firing somebody.
I mean, it kind of feels like you just like to fire.
But you do have a week. A week doesn't go by that you're not trying to fire somebody.
Well, you'll say like, hey, he's going to get fired.
Well, a week doesn't go by in sports without somebody being fired either, right? I'm just saying. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh and the crew as we get ready for this Tuesday. Yeah, the countdown is on to Saturday, and just do keep your eyes to the sky. And if you're headed down to downtown, only because the weatherman is saying we could have some interesting weather this weekend, and we got a huge game Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're already making all sorts of plans for how we're going to cover it on Saturday with the MLS Cup coming. We'll talk with Michael Parkhurst later in the show about the press for Atlanta United. Hawks last night. Lost to the Golden State Warriors, and that was over for the shouting in the first quarter. I know ATU went to the game. I was watching, and I went, okay, this thing is
over. It was like, 74-51 or something like that?
They were up 17 in the first quarter, and Steph Curry had outscored the Hawks in the first quarter.
I went, there goes
that. I was like, ain't no need for me to waste too much time with this one.
Yeah.
You know. But I need to get back down to that building, though, because I'm pretty sure, like, Dave, when we were there, it was like the first night. And I'm pretty sure since then they've really gotten it to the point where it really looks a lot nicer than it did even when we were there. So I definitely got to get down there for that.
You know, I got a chance to go into the barbershop.
Oh, you
for
did?
The first time.
The Killer Mike's?
Yeah. Now, I don't think there's ever a need for me to get a haircut there because when you have a bald head, spending $30 for a haircut doesn't make sense. So I'll stick with my regular barber. But it was a nice location.
Yeah, and it's a nice area. I mean, and the ambiance, Killer Mike keeps some ambiance up in there. Well, when I was there, the ambiance was, like, ridiculous. So he kept the ambiance.
No, I was a little surprised there weren't as many A-list stars there last night. I ran into Chris Tucker, spoke to him for a little bit. But mm-hmm. Outside of that,
what's Chris
really
Tucker done lately?
You know, I think he
mailbox money.
Yeah, you said you kind of said that like he you know he was like struggling a little bit.
I was just wondering artistically. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he's done some stand-up shows.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he's getting back into his comedy routines.
He was doing movies there like one a week. It seemed for a while. Anyway, neither here nor there. So the Hawks fall to the Golden State Warriors, 128-111. They are now tied with Phoenix and with the Bulls, who just fired their head coach with the most losses in the NBA. And I know that a lot of Hawks fans are on ping pong ball watch already, just 24 games into the year. Can't say I blame you, because that's kind of the, you know. And if you're on ping pong ball watch, you want to keep your eyes on Cleveland, which isn't doing very well, and on Dallas, which is doing okay, because, you know, you might get one or both of those picks, too, in the first round next year. There's that. And then, your Eagles last night, Hugh. How about another Redskins quarterback breaks his leg? Yeah, Alex Smith breaks his leg, and then Colt McCoy breaks his leg. And Washington, you want to talk about having no luck? How about the Redskins?
Yeah, that was tough. And I was watching that when he broke his leg. And it looked weird because he fell. It was like he was running. Is that the one? Because unless I got the wrong cut. Because the one that I saw where he looked, he fell, and he was trying. He came back, and he was still trying to play. And, he slipped and fell.
Right.
And it was like he broke his leg. It was kind of weird how that happened, though. So, yeah, for them, man, unfortunate for Colt, he got hurt. Snake bitten. Mark Sanchez comes in. And the thing that I found kind of interesting was they were talking about how Mark Sanchez only had like a handful of plays. He only knew like 12 plays, 10 to 12 plays, and how they were trying to run the offense with those 10 to 12 plays. And the fact that the Washington Redskins are in a playoff push, and they need these last four games to even try to stay alive in the playoff hunt. And you got a quarterback out there that's not that comfortable with the playbook yet. So they're gonna be pressed to try to get Mark Sanchez up to speed this week. Really pressed.
Yeah, really pressed. I mean, Redskins have suddenly from 6-3 before the downfall here. They've lost three in a row. They've lost two quarterbacks to broken legs. If you're a Redskins fan, you're man of mercy. You know, you got no luck whatsoever. Now, you're still 6-6, but now you got Butt Fumble as your quarterback, and you're tied with, Philadelphia, which is only a game behind. Suddenly, the NFC East has become, Hugh, it's become interesting. You got Dallas is hot. They're 7-5, and here come the Eagles at 6-6.
Yeah, and they still got the Eagles still had to go to Dallas to see them there. You know, they're still alive in the playoff picture. Shout out to AP last night. AP had like a 90-yard run. Look, he turned back the clock a little bit last night. He was rolling for older cats. So shout out to AP for that last night. And yeah, it's still alive in the NFC. NFC East is still the Eagles are still alive in that division.
And they are still alive in the division. And of course, the Falcons are working out trying to figure out kind of where they are as they go to Green Bay. Interesting game coming up here on Sunday with Green Bay, because there's so much chatter going on about the Packers. You know, they fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy, and now you have two openings in the NFL. And we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, but there's a lot of people calling people out right now. Mark Chmura goes on and calls Aaron. It goes on a radio show, and Chewy calls. Did Chewy and Aaron, I don't think they ever played together, right?
They didn't.
And Chewy was only with Brett Favre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chewy goes on there and starts calling Rodgers a prima donna and saying that, you know, he's like an NBA prima donna because he's one of these guys who went and got his coach fired. You know, I don't like the coach. I want to get the coach fired. So he blames Aaron, and he thinks that Aaron comes across looking really bad, that Aaron forced Mike McCarthy out. And I'm thinking, well, let's say, Hugh, that that's the case. Why wouldn't he have done this years ago?
I didn't hear the whole March America. I heard him say something to the effect that Aaron's culpable for Mike McCarthy's firing, but Aaron Rodgers came out and said that their relationship was like any other relationship. They had their ups and downs, and you know it wasn't always great, but they worked it out. So it's one of those things where when you look at it like this, when you look at the moves that they made and at the timing that they made it, I can see where some people would think that the quarterback had something to do with that, and maybe he did. The team was not going in the right direction. And we all know that there comes a time where, you know, the coaching message gets stale. It gets stale. And, you know, sometimes it's time for a change. So maybe that was the case. But to sit there and say, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers was in the office basically lobbying for his coach to get fired. I don't know if that was the case. But I'm pretty sure that when they were asked what direction the team was going in, Aaron probably had some kind of input in that.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I mean, would you defer to Aaron Rodgers right now? Yeah, probably. Even at his age? Yeah, probably. Maybe I might, because if, you know, you think in the next 2-3 years, you want to turn this around, and he's got to be happy. And he's your star. I mean, even if he's playing, you know, kind of gimpy this year. That's another thing we'll get into today. Another among the headlines, of course, college football. You have, you know, the Heisman finalists announced. Not a shock. The three guys that we expected, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, and Tua Tagovailoa. I will say this. Dave Archer told me, now I've never voted in the Heisman, Hugh, and Dave Archer told me that he didn't submit his vote, and I've seen others that weren't submitted till after the title games. I thought they were done before the title games. I didn't realize that they were submitted after the title games. Do you think that might change the vote at all? Was some guys waiting or a number of guys waiting?
Change it to what? I mean, to what exactly?
I don't know. Kyler Murray?
Do you think Kyler Murray did enough during the course of the season to warrant winning the Heisman?
Had a better year than Baker Mayfield.
Okay, but did he have a better year than Tua Tagovailoa and what he's done? Baker Mayfield's in the pros right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're comparing one year to another. I'm talking about this year.
Oh, I think Tua's winning handily.
Yeah, no, but that's my point, because you brought up Baker Mayfield, and I'm like, I understand that, but that was a year that was stood on his own merit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something totally different. I know he revenged the only loss they had this year, but I think that regardless of what the Heisman voter said, if Tua Tagovailoa does not win it, I think that there would be probably an uproar. I really do. And I understand that a lot of people feel like, you know, there hasn't been they really hadn't been contested all year long. They weren't challenged, Alabama that is, until this weekend. But even then, I still think that he was the odds-on favorite going into that. I really do.
Oh, yeah. He was – I was thinking, you know, at one point, gosh, could he be unanimous? I mean, he was so far out in front.
Yeah, it was Tua's to lose. But I think Kyler has closed on him in recent weeks. And it wouldn't – I think this vote is going to be a lot closer than we anticipate.
And it could be,
but I still think he wins.
Yeah, I still think Tua wins. And then now we'll get the question that we got with Jameis Winston when he won it, when Johnny Manziel won it. Will Tua now become the first player since Archie Griffin to win back-to-back Heismans? Because he'll be not only the Heisman winner, but overwhelmingly the favorite to win the Heisman again next year coming into the season. So we'll have to kind of wait on that. But so it's only those three guys. Anybody who was thinking was going to be a fourth guy going in, just all that says is the voters, those three guys got more votes, and then the drop-off after three is ski slope. Heisman winner will be announced, of course, on Saturday. That'll be Heisman Day, Army-Navy Day, and all that kind of good stuff. But college football heads to its bowl season, but it's doing so without a growing list of star players. There are lots and lots of big-name college football players. I'm not saying two or three. We're talking 8-10 major college football players that are skipping out on their bowl games. Is this a good thing? Can it be stopped? Should it be stopped?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere. On Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On this Tuesday, hope you're having a safe drive in. A lot going on as we head now towards the next season of college football, which, of course, is bowl season. And get into in just a moment some of the players who are skipping out on their bowls and what that means for these teams and for these games. As we know, Georgia's not playing in the playoff, and Kirby Smart out there talking about the fact that, you know, you have Texas, you have the Sugar Bowl, and you don't have a playoff game, and this is what Coach said in regards to that.
Well, it's life. I mean, you get knocked down all the time. So it's a situation where we get knocked down. We got to get up and go. And you get a chance to teach these young men lifelong lessons, which is you got a great opportunity in front of you. Let's look forward and not backwards.
Okay, you look forward to the Sugar Bowl, and that's what we're asking right now on our social media. It's a question we have up on Facebook that we'd like you to comment on. It's also our poll question of the day at 929thegame on Twitter. And when you go vote, we'd like you to jump into the conversation as well in the comments on Twitter and retweet and talk to us on it. Dogs fans, this is the poll question. Dogs fans, any excitement about playing in the Sugar Bowl against number 15 Texas, or is it just a disappointment? You can vote yes. You want to prove the committee wrong. There's excitement in this game. Yes, it's one more game, and of course you always want to see one more game. And no, it's a meaningless game, and I don't think it's a meaningless game, but some people, 36% so far, seem to think it's meaningless. But you, I think that goes to where we are right now. That and then what we're about to talk about is that you're talking about the Sugar Bowl. The Sugar Bowl. And people are saying it's meaningless.
Well, we've put so much emphasis on the 14 playoff that I can see why a lot of people would feel that way, because it feels like you're not playing for anything. But I tell you this, you better not go out there and lay an egg, Georgia, because if you do, then everything that you were screaming about at the end of that game against Alabama goes for naught. Because you didn't take care of your business. I mean, if you go out there and you lay a stinker in the Sugar Bowl, then people will say, see, the committee got it right. You need to go out there and you need to be dominant. This is probably, even though you're not playing in the 14 playoffs, this is an important game. This is a very, very important game. Because I think what we've seen is that things that you've done in the past probably matter to the committee. And if you go out there, you handle your business and you get it done, then maybe next year if something like this happens again, it won't matter if you got two losses. You'll still get in because you're deserving. Look at it like that.
Yeah, don't they have a series? They've got the games coming up with Texas, too, and non-conference, right? I mean, I'm trying to find out the years for those. They're going to be it's not going to be until 2028 and 2029. All right, that's a little bit way before Georgia-Texas play non-conference.
Well, but it has the potential of being the best bowl game of the season.
Oh, yeah. On paper, it's a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, normally, were this a normal bowl season, Georgia, Texas, and the Sugar Bowl would be, you know, highly talked about. I mean, it'd be really talked about. But this goes to the whole concept of, you know, these bowl games. I mean, how many are there? 40? I mean, you've got some, you know, Bad Boy, Mower, Gasparilla bowls and, you know, all kinds of bowl games out there with all kinds of teams playing. And I don't fault anybody, you, for playing in a bowl game. You get extra practice time. You get a chance to play another game, honor your team. It's great for your fans. But do they really mean anything? No.
It means something to the kids now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a big deal. You know, and I'm old school, and, yeah, I went to a small school, and I never got an opportunity to play on the grand stage like most of these kids are doing right now. But I still think that this is a huge accomplishment for a lot of these kids. I mean, we've put so much emphasis on this 14 playoffs that we've kind of diminished everything else and made people feel like it's insignificant. It's all or nothing. And I understand that for a lot of people, that is the case. But to be able to go to a bowl game and finish your college season, your college life out on a good note, I think that's a big deal. And I know a lot of kids probably won't look at it like that because you're not one of the teams that are talked about to be in the 14 playoff, but you should. Because that's a big deal. I have friends of mine that I play with that, man, they got rings for days as far as college championships they played or bowl games that they've played in. That's a big deal, especially when you become an older man and you look back and you reflect on the accomplishments that you've had in life to have those rings. I have a friend of mine, Corey Simon, probably got about six rings when he played at Florida State. Six. I got one. One. And that's because we want, but I'm just saying that's the reality of it. I mean, this is a big deal because you get a chance to get some jewelry, and when you get older, you look at that and be like, hey, man, I played in the so-and-so bowl and we won. That's a big deal. That is a big deal.
Well, here's the other fallout from that. You have players, star players, and by the way, I'll just say right up front before I read the list of these players who are skipping out on their bowl game, I have no problem whatsoever with these guys skipping out on their bowl game because these guys are all looking at the NFL. A number of them are first-round picks or high picks you into the second or third round, and they are thinking about their future. So here's the growing list of star college players who will not play in their bowl games. They're not injured. They're just skipping the game because the game doesn't mean anything and they don't want to get hurt. Noah Fant, tight end, Iowa. Maybe the best tight end in the entire nation. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston. Rashawn Gary, you were going to Florida and Michigan at the Peach Bowl. You will not see Michigan star defensive tackle Rashawn Gary. He is skipping out. Greedy Williams, defensive back of LSU, who will not play in the Fiesta Bowl against Central Florida. And now, of course, there's a couple of things about that. One is the Central Florida, Hugh. You know, was, oh, well, you didn't have Greedy Williams. He skipped out on the game. LSU didn't care. So just be prepared for that, Central Florida. And Keel Harry, first-round wide receiver draft pick of Arizona State. Debo Samuel will not be in the Belk Bowl for South Carolina, the South Carolina star. Back to Greedy Williams for a second. Ed Orgeron said this, Hugh. He said he was told, hey, Greedy's not playing in the game. And Orgeron said he didn't know. He says, oh, I didn't know that. We were going to have a meeting. But that's what he wants, okay.
I mean, what can you do? I mean, you fulfilled your college commitment. This is an extra game. I mean, and regardless if you want to or not, this is still going to bring a lot of recruits to your school by having him there, like with knowing that he was there and getting ready for the draft and everything. I don't have a problem with kids sitting out myself. I mean, it's a choice that you can make. I will say this, that if it was me and I had the opportunity, I would probably play because that's the last hurrah you get with those teammates, that group of guys that you're going to play with. That's the last walk that you're going to walk with them in life on that level. So I would play. That's how I would look at it. But some kids don't look at it like that. And I'm saying that, I'm sitting here saying that as an older man and a guy who had the opportunity to play in a bowl game, play in a Hula Bowl. You know, so it was one of those things that for me personally, it propelled me into the first round of the NFL draft. So there was that for me. But to walk that last walk with those group of guys, I don't think a lot of kids look at it like that nowadays. But, I mean, you probably should. But at the end of the day, it's their decision. Bottom line, it's their decision. They're getting ready to make a ton of money, a lot of money in the NFL. So I do not hold a grudge against them for making that life-changing decision.
Neither do I. I mean, why would you – let's say you chose to play in it and suddenly you did – you know, I mean, I know what odds of injury are, but you did get injured and you hurt your draft stock. I mean, especially if you're trying to – if you know for a fact that you're going to be able to, you know, feed your family, and maybe that's a case with some of these guys that they feel that responsibility and they have an opportunity to be a first-round or a second-round pick or get that sign-in bonus they can do. Why would you jeopardize that at this point?
It all depends on who you are. Like I said, for me, it was a different story because I came from a small school. But I don't think Nick Bosa's draft status is hurt. He didn't play all season. Ed Oliver is another guy that if, you know, he didn't play for four games, he came back for, a couple weeks ago, and now he's decided not to play. I think for Ed Oliver, he's going to go regardless. I think some guys probably need to play. I mean, and I'm pretty sure that their agent or their handler is probably telling them that. You know, everybody can't sit out. Everybody doesn't have that luxury. But, the top-tier guys, yeah. Because, like I said, it's not going to hurt Nick Bosa's status as far as his draft and everything. And I don't think it will hurt a guy like Ed Oliver.
No, it's not going to hurt their status at all. As a matter of fact, it may end up helping their status if they – you know, in the sense that they don't get injured, and they can't really – they're not going to improve their stock if they had a big bowl game anyway. I mean, it's not like if Noah Fant went out in a bowl game and scored three touchdowns, everybody would say, well, that's Noah Fant. I mean, that's who he is. He is the – you know, he's Rob Gronkowski. You're going to hear the name Noah Fant a lot. He's going to be a star touchdown-making wide tight end in the NFL. So he can't improve his stock at all. However, it does, Hugh, this is one thing is true. When you're talking about Noah Fant, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary, Greedy Williams, Enkiel Harry, Debo Samuel, you're talking about stars of the game. This hurts college football. It hurts the bowl games. No question that it hurts the Florida-Michigan game not to have Rashawn Gary in it. It hurts the LSU-UCF game not to have Greedy Williams. And this just goes to kind of the larger picture of the fact that the playoff has not only diminished the other bowls like the Sugar Bowl, it's damaged them in that regard. Because the star players aren't playing.
I think it also – I don't know if I agree with that. Now, if I'm playing for the big dog, if I'm playing for all the marbles, then I'm pretty sure none of those guys are sitting out because that's a different mentality.
Right.
But as a coach, if I was coaching college football right now and I was getting ready to coach a bowl game and I knew that I had a senior that was about to leave and he decided not to play – as a coach, I probably look at that and say, that's cool, because now that gives me an opportunity to get the younger player that is going to take your place, an opportunity to play. That's like an extra – that's extra reps for a guy that's about to step in and take your job. You know what I mean? So I look at it like that, especially if it's not for all the marbles. Now, if I was in a situation like – if I was Nick Saban, if I was Coach Saban and some of those players from that team decided to sit out, I would have a problem with that. Like, listen, dog, this is for all the marbles. But for these other bowl games, again, and I know I said that, you know, we've all diminished the priority to these games, but still, if it's not playing for all the marbles, I would not have a problem with a young guy not playing, because that would give me the opportunity to get one of my younger players ready to go.
By the way, if you need a place to watch the Falcons and Green Bay game on Sunday, our official watch party will be at Taco Mac Metro in Midtown starting at noon. Tons of Falcons prizes. Cheerleaders Freddie the Falcon going to be on site again. Our official watch party for the Falcons and Green Bay. The game day party is at Taco Mac Metro in Midtown starting at noon. When we get back, our first run-through on this Tuesday of some of the things we are also looking at in the Wendy Zone with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we do have that poll up right now at 92.9 The Game, asking Dogs fans whether there's any excitement about playing in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans against number 15 Texas, or is it just a disappointment? Right now, 45% of people are saying no, it's a meaningless game. 33% saying yes, prove the committee wrong. And 22% are saying yes, it's one more game. So you can comment on our Twitter and our Facebook pages. But this one has been pretty close all morning on whether Dogs fans are excited to see their team in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, the meaningless game, I don't see it being meaningless, but I understand it's a disappointment. I tell you what, any committed Dogs fan who thinks, you know, they're disappointed and they think it's meaningless, come kickoff time, they're not going to think it's meaningless. Suddenly they're going to be into their feelings.
They might. I tell you what, you don't want to be Auburn. That's all I got to say, Dogs, right, man. You don't want to be Auburn. And you don't want to go out there with all that good equity and all that good stuff you built up, go out there and lay a turd. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that team.
You know who weighed in with that? That's probably Dallas Georgia Tech fans who weighed in with a meaningless answer.
What happened?
No, but some Georgia fans have commented saying, yeah, it's a meaningless game. They should have been in the college football playoff.
No, I understand.
And they're right. They should have been.
Right.
But they didn't take care of their business.
Exactly.
Right, and Georgia Tech, I think, got shafted in getting into the Quick Lane Bowl against Minnesota. I think they should have been in a much better bowl game.
Pardon me, but what was that name before? Does anyone know?
You know, I want to say it was like, wasn't it? No, I'd have to go look at the history. Was it the Ford Bowl? Well, I know it's a Ford Stadium. Yeah, Motor City Bowl.
Motor City, that's right.
That's what it was. It just hit me.
I would have wanted to be in the Cheez-It Bowl. Because you literally
have the
bowl.
Cheez-It Bowl. I mean,
that's
come
made
on.
Out of a Cheez-It.
Well, you know, Popeyes gave up the Bahamas Bowl.
Right.
What?
Yeah, I know.
The Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah. Bahamas
that sounds
and
tremendous.
Chicken.
Do you have to like have a terrible season to be in that bowl, like the Bahamas Bowl?
Yeah, but would you rather have
because
a terrible
season? Because I would totally be the one, one of those players like, let's go to
the Bahamas Bowl. Yeah, it's like a small bowl game in a small stadium, but I'd much rather play the Bahamas Bowl than the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit.
No
offense.
It's a punishment to go some places that they have.
Detroit's nice, though. Stay in the hotel.
Detroit is nice, but stay in the hotel.
Yeah, well, Paul Johnson's answer.
They about their life in the D.
Paul Johnson's answer was funny. He said, well, at least we play inside.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah. Just stay out of the casino with Greektown. It gets real.
Yes.
It's real down there. for real.
Well, Alabama, the overwhelming favorite, win another national championship this year. But two coaches apparently feel that the Crimson Tide are not the team to beat. And one of them is their own coach. So according to college football reporter Brett McMurphy, there were only two coaches who did not place Alabama number one in their final regular season coaches poll of the year. One of them was Nick Saban, and the other was Pitt's Pat Narduzzi. So Nick Saban not even voting for his own team at number one.
Who did he
vote
for?
In the coaches poll. I'm not sure. I can look it up.
So he's trying to motivate his team by not doing that? Really? Come on, Nick.
Narduzzi voted for Clemson. We know that. He stayed in the ACC. That had to have happened. But I can look it up real quick to see.
Yeah, I would be curious to see on. I should have done that before. I did the story. But yeah, Nick Saban not putting his own team at number one is kind of odd.
Yeah,
when they've been steamrolling their opponents this season.
I don't know why this doesn't have.
That is the. That is Nick Saban.
Yeah, he put him in Clemson. Share,
Coach Nick,
he did
Coach
vote
Saban.
For Clemson.
Yeah,
give them all the accolades so we can go in and smack them down.
Well, because essentially Alabama and Clemson have first round buys into the national title game.
They do?
Essentially. You're playing Notre Dame and you're playing Oklahoma. Come on, John.
I got news for everybody out there, all right? Notre Dame could beat Clemson.
Hear that, John?
Crickets.
No one agreeing with
Excuse me.
No one agreeing with you.
Well, okay, then everybody else is not paying attention. Notre Dame can beat Clemson.
I agree with you, John.
Notre Dame can absolutely beat Clemson.
Now,
I don't know if they will, but
on,
they
I'm
can absolutely
write that
beat
question down.
Well, you know what? We already know who John's picking in that game. So he's either going to.
But Clemson struggled against A&M. Clemson struggled against Syracuse. Notre Dame's at darn sight better than both of those teams.
And
matter of fact, Notre Dame destroyed Syracuse far worse than Clemson did.
See, the advantage I feel with Clemson and Alabama, unlike the other two, and a little bit on Oklahoma side, you've got 4 weeks to prepare for this game. You should be ready. And I don't expect it's going to be a blowout as well. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot closer in both games than we realize.
Well, Notre Dame had an extra week to prepare because they weren't doing anything on championship weekend.
A different story. She's right. I mean, that Notre Dame sat out to me is a joke. There's something wrong with this system. But, you know, because really Notre Dame versus Clemson is the ACC title game. Notre Dame is a quasi-ACC team. I'm just saying. That's all I got.
Okay.
You said they can absolutely beat Clemson, which I will throw on Twitter in just a moment. Well, I want to know your guys' thoughts on this because there's a man named Dennis Brown II who proposed to his girlfriend, Atara Dallas, last week in Miami. He's a designer, so went all out. He had the rose petals on the floor. He had this giant poster made of a poem he wrote for her, a bunch more. But there was one detail that really stands out, and this has gone viral. He bought her 6 different rings so she could pick the one she wanted. A pretty amazing gesture, but some people are criticizing him for it. One woman tweeting, if a man proposes with 6 rings, he's indecisive or doesn't know me well. Either way, it's a flag.
What?
So if you see the box, it's the box of, it's literally, he opens the box and all 6 rings are sitting there.
Yeah, candy rings?
I had a jeweler.
No, they're legit rings. They're legit diamond rings.
That's raw.
I'll tell you, she went with the teardrop shaped diamond. Mm-hmm.
I will say this. The woman that made that comment, it probably is. I'm gonna say she's still single.
I know where you're going with that too.
But I will say this: when you are picking out, like he didn't. I don't know for sure, but I don't think he bought them all. I think that was a selection.
Yes,
that he
from
was
the jeweler.
From because when you pick out a ring, it's important to a woman what type of ring she's wearing. Like different women,
but you should know that before you get down.
Not really, Wendy.
If you get a private jeweler,
always hint at which kind of ring.
How the hell she know I'm gonna ask to marry her?
Right.
You're supposed to be a surprise. I've been married twice.
Okay.
So when I asked my wife to marry her, mm-hmm. I had an idea of what type of ring it was, exactly. But I never asked.
But
I knew she was traditional, so I got the single diamond. I got the round diamonds.
Exactly.
But some women might want a teardrop.
And they will let you know.
There has to be more to this story than that. It has to be.
It has to be. I had to go through the real estate maven's mom, you know,
to get an idea. Yeah, but you never ask.
You never ask. I'm never going to ask her.
Well, no, you don't have to ask. A girl will always drop the hints of what kind of ring that she likes. If it's getting to that point in the relationship,
give me what your hint is.
Well, if you're walking around the mall, you're like, oh, look at that ring in the mirror. I'm really a fan of the cushion.
Do couples still go to malls together?
Square diamond.
Yeah, right. I don't.
If you're browsing online or something.
That's a little bit over the top, isn't it?
Come here.
Check out online. I like this wedding ring here. What do you think?
Because if she picked a pear shape, that's not a traditional shape.
Picked out the exact ring they wanted and told their future fiancés / husbands what exact ring they would like.
Well, God bless them.
Because
I didn't ask. I assume.
You should know.
Shout out to people giving choices, though.
He gave her a choice.
Six makes choices. Yeah,
but you know what? He laid the whole day out, though.
My first wife, I just bought the stone because I didn't know what kind of setting she wanted. I had no idea what kind of setting she wanted.
He should have just gotten seven so she could wear one different, like, every day of the week.
Well, you know, he's just messed it up for every guy out there because now every guy's going to have to compete with him.
Mm. I want to choose. Or I want one for every day of the week now.
Child, please.
Yeah, no, I'll just take one. I promise.
AJC, Mark Bradley has a headline this morning. The Falcons are broken. Major repairs are needed. Is it major repairs the Falcons need or just get healthy in a few minor moves? What needs to happen for the Falcons after what's taken place? Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.